The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the customs post. He said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. While he was at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat with Jesus and his disciples. The Pharisees saw this and said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus heard this and said, "Those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. Go and learn the meaning of the words, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice.' I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." The Gospel of the Lord. What should our response be to that question the Pharisees asked the disciples? Why is Jesus eating with the sinners and tax collectors? How ought we to respond to it? Should we say, "Yeah, I don't understand that, why he's hanging around with all the bad guys. He should hang around with all of us good guys." That's one way to do it. But I think the gospel tells us, from Jesus' own words, the response to that question, why is he doing this, ought to be these words: "Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God that he is sitting with the sinners and tax collectors, because it happens that's all that there are in the world. Would you refuse a seat at the table with Jesus because he was sitting only with the sinners? Would we be so prideful and selfish to say, 'I don't want to be a part of that crowd,' even though that's the crowd whom Jesus came to save? That's the crowd whom Jesus is sharing his life with? That's the crowd whom Jesus is teaching?" It's not saying we ought to be proud to be a sinner. "Hi, I'm a sinner and I'm proud of it." I don't think we need to do that. A little too cocky. But we do need to recognize this simple fact. We are sinners. And Christ came for sinners. And so if we need to be redeemed, we need to be redeemed because we are fallen. We are flawed. We are imperfect. We are selfish. We're prideful. We're lustful. We go through the whole litany of things that we know in our life. The danger for us is not to admit it. The danger is not to admit it. That's what the point of this gospel is. Matthew's grateful. He again recalls the fact in his own gospel, Jesus' command to follow him. If you will, that's the day Matthew's salvation began. And as Matthew, leaving that life of being a tax collector, a customs collector, before he leaves, he says goodbye to his friends, and that's who's at this dinner. And Jesus and the disciples come because he knows where he's needed. Matthew has now begun this new journey of faith. And the Lord, I believe, hopes that those people who are Matthew's friends may also begin that journey of faith. It's a wonderful journey. It's an exciting one. But it's a challenging one for us because we have to recognize our need to take the trip. This is the ironic thing. You know, nowadays, when you watch television commercials about healthcare, and good Lord knows, you can't sling a dead cat without hitting the healthcare commercial about something or other. They talk about blood pressure or hypertension as the silent killer, or high cholesterol as the silent killer, or diabetes as the silent killer, or your carbon footprint's too big, whatever the heck a carbon footprint is. It's a silent killer. For crying out loud. Okay, that's true. That if we eat, you know, lard right out of the can, yes, our cholesterol is going to go a little bit too high. And if we let things affect us too much, our blood pressure is going to go through the roof. It has effects on the body. All that is true, and I'm not denying one bit of it. But the fact of the matter the Lord is telling us is that there's an even more silent killer than something that can kill the body. And that's what can kill the soul. Because the soul is immortal. The soul's not going to die. The soul is what we're going to take with us when we leave this life. The soul is what's going to be rejoined to the body at the resurrection of the dead. And so we need to think about the spiritual care of our soul. That's the silent killer. This is the one that the Pharisees didn't pay attention to. They think they're perfectly healthy in that sense. I have no sin. I follow all the rules. Then you begin to ask, why do you follow the rules? Do you make exceptions to those rules? Did you find loopholes in those rules? Did you think that those rules no longer apply to you anymore? You begin to work the system. And they see themselves in quite a different light, almost a morally superior, maybe even a spiritually superior life than everybody else. There's the trap. They're the ones that are, if you will, tempted by that silent killer, because for the Pharisees, the silent killer is pride. The silent killer is self-righteousness. I'm the only good person around here. I can only hang around with people who are as good as I am, who know the system as well as I do. But that's not the way to heaven. The way to heaven is to recognize we are sinners. That we, in the course of our life, do things that are wrong, do things that are evil. That we do things that are just plain stupid. I can't give you the number today. That's probably too high for me to count without taking off my shoes. Maybe not so many evil, but definitely some stupid things, definitely some imprudent things, some thoughtless things. And you know, I've been a priest 16 years, and I think I'm farther from heaven now than I was the day I was ordained. I'm not working in the right direction here. And part of it comes to the fact of what the gospel is reminding us of. Take care to look deep into your soul. Take care to reflect on your life. And don't neglect the fact that we are sinners. Don't neglect the fact that I might not be as bad a sinner as so-and-so, but I still have pride, and I still have my ego, and I still have my selfishness. And all those things are the silent killer of the soul. All those things began to say, you know, I don't need to be redeemed. Or, you know, I don't need to come to Jesus and be at the table with him. We come here today at the celebration of the Mass to gather around the Lord, to gather around this altar of sacrifice, the table from which we receive his body and blood. And we're here because we're righteous? No, we're here because we are sinners. We know that we cannot get out of this life and get to heaven without Christ. And the Lord says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. What does that mean for us? It means that God did not want to destroy us. We have done everything in salvation history to justify God wiping us out. From the time in the wilderness, complaining about whatever happened, from the time of the first sin. We see how alive it was today. It's been in the news lately in Hartford, Connecticut. A man was run over by a car, and out in the middle of the street, people walked by. They slowed their cars down. Not one person helped him. Is that a parable of the Good Samaritan? I don't want to touch what that person has. I don't want to deal with them. I might get sued by going and helping them. My common humanity with that person is something that is just totally out of the way that I don't want to deal with those people. Those are the real sick ones. And we look in our humanity and we're not saying, some people assume to say you're a sinner is to say I'm a bad person. I don't want to say I'm a bad person, Father. I didn't say you're a bad person. They mix these two things up. Good people can do bad things. And most of us, all of us, are good people who have probably done bad things, rotten things, stupid things, ridiculous things, for ridiculous reasons. I smile when I say that because, like I said, I can just think of the things I've done today. And the day's not over yet. But we have to ask ourselves that kind of question. We need to ask the Lord for mercy. And not only that, we need to be merciful. You know, it's much easier to say, Lord, sacrifice them and cut me some slack. But the real Christian attitude that Jesus tells us is that, let me suffer for them and let them have mercy. That's the real challenge. God could have destroyed us, but he was merciful. He gives us another chance. He gives us as many chances as we need through the sacrament of penance. He gives us chances every time we receive his body and blood to grow closer to him, to recognize our hunger for the Lord. And we're here because we're hungry for the Lord. And the scary thing is not all of you who are here, because it's hoped that you recognize you need the Holy Eucharist, you need the Word of God, you need God's salvation and grace. The scary thing are the thousands of people in the city of Cincinnati who are Catholic, who aren't coming to church because they don't see the sickness. They don't see the fact of their need for God. They don't recognize their baptismal dignity, the salvation that Christ gave them, have they have chosen to waste or to ignore or to neglect. Those are the ones that we need to pray for. Lord, have mercy on them. Help them get back to church. Not for the sake of the church, but for the sake of their soul, for the sake of their salvation, for the sake of their eternal joy. Christ wants to offer healing. And for that to happen, we have to show the doctor where it hurts. The doctor can only heal us if we know where it hurts. And he asks us, where are you hurting? And that's where we need to give the Lord our sins. It was a wonderful tradition of the church, and I hope many of you still practice it. But at the end of the day, before you go to sleep, you do the examination of your conscience. And you say, Lord, this is what I have done today. These are the ways I've been hurt. These are the ways I have hurt others. Have mercy on me, Lord. That should be our prayer every day. And when we do that, the Lord will offer us healing. He'll offer us forgiveness. He'll offer us mercy. Because the God we profess to believe in said, I will not destroy you, but instead my Son will be sacrificed on the cross for your salvation. So God shows us his mercy by the sacrifice of his Son. And now he says, be people of mercy in the world, by sacrificing yourself, by knowing your need for mercy, your need for forgiveness, to every day not to discount the things we do wrong, the words we use which are not proper, the thoughts we have, the things we might engage in, our laziness, our sloppiness, whatever those things are, we need to know them. We need to be aware of them. And we need to ask for God's forgiveness in them. If we do that, then we will know what Matthew knows. It's good to sit with the rest of the sinners around the Lord, because he is the only one who can heal us. He is the only one who can feed us. He is the only one who will help us get to heaven, because he sacrificed himself for our sins that we may know God's mercy. As we receive the Lord's body and blood and we participate in Christ's sacrifice, may we enter into that sacrifice ourselves, so that we ask the Lord to have mercy on us, to have mercy on the person sitting next to us, to have mercy on the person who's not even here, that they will know the love of God and they will know the great grace he wants to offer us every single day.